Well, you know, this week, it seems there's been a lot about the Pope's visit. It dominated the news, and especially his views on social justice. I don't put these slides together. This is Tim McGinnis here. And the whole idea of social justice, it's interesting, isn't it, how it's become something of a political football, something that should be, caring for the poor, that seems like it should be just a given almost, and yet it's been very divisive in our country. And I wonder if it's possible that human beings are trying to basically take one of God's basic tenets and do it on our own, do it our own way. And so I thought maybe as we get started on this, as talking about our call to missions, I think somewhere down in there, there is also a theme of social justice. And we need to, I'd like for us anyway, to go back and kind of look at what God's idea of social justice is, because I think it relates to our topic for this morning. And I think there's two ways in which God's idea of social justice is different than man's idea. God's idea of social justice starts with spiritual justice, doesn't it? It starts with the fact that you cannot, and Jesus said, save the whole world. And what good is it if you do that, but you don't save your own soul? And what good is it for us to try to work out justice with man when we have not worked out justice with God? And that's how we come to the cross, because we know without the cross there is no justice. We can't be. It is only through Christ's death on the cross and accepting that that we find that God's justice is settled. The second thing that I think is important to remember about God's idea of social justice is that it comes from the heart. It's not forced. Man's way seems to be forcing people to give their money to other people, and that maybe they don't really want to, but God's idea of justice comes from the inside out. It comes from a transformed heart. And so caring for others, as we look at the Bible, has always been part of God's overall mission for God's people. And today, our call to missions, as individuals and as a church, is there's no coincidence that it has a strong thread of social and spiritual justice in it, and I think you'll see that as we get along, that it's no small fact that our call to mission in general and our call to specifically help Malawi is rooted both in our call to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and also care for the poor. And there's one Old Testament passage that has become very strong and has impressed me and many of the other leaders. And I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 58. And you can also find the passage that I'm going to be speaking about in your bulletin, Isaiah 58. And I will paraphrase a little bit of it here, a little of the first part, because Isaiah was speaking 2,700 years ago at a time when religious folks, and I underline religious folks, didn't think it was too important to care about the poor. They went to the temple and they brought their sacrifices. They were very moral. We're talking about good people here. And they were doubling down on their rituals like fasting and prayer. I mean, they were doing it. And in fact, God speaking through Isaiah, who is the prophet here, said that they prayed so often and they bowed their heads so often, they looked like grass blowing in the wind. The problem was that with all their religious fervor, there was an emptiness and a meaninglessness, because while they thought they were acting pious, they were also fighting with each other. They were cheating the people that worked for them. They were withholding wages from those who worked for them. They were using the Sabbath day, not as God's day, but using it a day for their own pleasures, and they were neglecting the poor. And so God comes here in this particular passage in Isaiah 58, and he says, stop the hypocrisy. Stop it. Stop with all your rituals. I don't want those kind of rituals anymore. And he's saying really here, do you want to know what kind, you like to fast? You want to fast? Here's my idea of what a fast is. And then notice what he's, let's read the very words from Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house. When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. In other words, when your kinfolk come over for dinner, you don't turn them away. Now, God makes it 100% clear here in this passage that if you love him, you will care for others less fortunate than you. Now, let me try to turn this into sort of translate it into New Testament language for us today. I think if we were to translate it over, it would say, if you were a church and you're wondering why the power of God doesn't seem to be there, or if you're an individual and say you're walking with God and you're a good person, but the power of God doesn't seem to be there in your life, then here might be the problem. Is your love for God not been translated into a love for the poor? You may have a great worship band that really rocks. You may have a stunningly brilliant preacher. You may have a great children's ministry in your church and a great youth ministry in your church. But as the eyes of Almighty God, the judge of the universe, looks deeply at you, will he see that your religious fervor has been translated into a care for the poor? Are you his feet and his hands? And the Apostle James would simply say, if your faith does not have works, it is dead. Now, it was this very passage that I was studying one morning in Malawi. 10 years ago, I'd never heard of Malawi before. I didn't even know it existed. And many of you probably have never heard. It's a tiny country in Africa. It's pretty small. You see, it wasn't on my radar because I had just come from spending 8 years in a Chinese church. It was here in America, but it was a Chinese church. And I adopted, well, at this time when I was coming here, I was adopting a son from China. So I'm thinking, hey, you know, when I go to this new church, Potomac Baptist Church, I want to get people fired up about, let's, you know, get into missions. When we talk about missions, let's talk about China. Well, God always seems to have a different idea than us. And through a strange series of events, God led us to one of the poorest countries on earth, Malawi. Now, America has poverty for sure, and I don't want to take anything away from that. And if we're not caring for the poor in our own backyard, we have no business trying to take care of the poor in other places. But we need some perspective here. Poverty in America still includes the fact that we have a cell phone, a car, a TV, and government assistance. I want to introduce you to real poverty on a global scale, global poverty. According to the UN, 90% of Malawi, I want you to get this statistic as we think about it, 90% of this country makes less than $2 a day. I want you to think about what would it be like here in America if we earned less than $2 a day. The Starbucks latte would go. I mean, you'd have to wait every other day to have your latte, and that's all you'd have. When there was drought or flood, there's no food in the store. You can't go to the grocery store and get the food, the meat neatly packaged. It's not there. It's just not there. And when you get sick, there's no medicine you can take. When you get a headache, you just suffer through it. You just get it out. And when you get cancer, you just die. When you have anything abnormal happen, that's it for you. That's what America would be like. In fact, that's what Malawi is like. For most of Malawi, not all of Malawi is like this. Certainly in the cities, there are some people that have money, but most of Malawi is rural, and it's subsistence farming. I mean, they grow what they eat out in their backyard, and if the crops die, then they go hungry. This is also, however, and I don't want to paint too bleak a picture, this is also a land of amazing opportunity. So there's incredible contrast. You can go over there and you can be blown away by the poverty, and yet at the same time, the thing that amazes you is that everybody is smiling, everybody's happy, which is sort of convicting when you think about it. And not only that, but if you were to walk up to anybody in the street and say, you know what, can I tell you about Jesus? They'd say, sure, tell me about him. It's open. The opportunities there are unlike anything I've ever seen. When we talk about change or revival or something happening in biblical proportions, we can't even comprehend it. I mean, most pastors over there have planted dozens and dozens of churches. Here, if you're a pastor, you're lucky if in your lifetime, maybe you plant one. And over there, it's just like they're cranking them out. It's incredible what's going on. And we've had the opportunity as a church, and again, I don't have the time because I want to give Pastor Abraham some time, but over the past 7 years, as God has led us there, we've had the opportunity to see some amazing things happen and to be a part of this. And what's incredible, here we are as a relatively small church in America, having incredible impact over there, and it's humbling. It's actually breathtaking. God has used our little church here to help train over 400 pastors and their wives. That's amazing, because you think of each pastor representing a church and each church representing hundreds of people. It's unreal. An orphanage has popped up along the way in the place where we go and serve, another church down in Florida, and all of this, all of a sudden you got churches here we got a Chinese church up in Rutgers that is partnering with us, and a church down in Florida, a real charismatic church down in Florida partnering with us. We got all these people from slightly different backgrounds coming together and working in amazing things. There's a building that we built over there for doing conferences. And this building in particular was just now finished. And now there's 130 kids meeting for school here. And many of those kids have left the Muslim school down the road and are starting to attend this school along with our orphanages. It's just amazing. Most recently, we have begun to train regional pastors because we can't be there 365 days a year. We started to do conferences. And finally, we just said, we need more. These guys need more training, and we can't be over here all the time. So we thought the best thing to do would be training regional pastors. And you met three of them that were here at our church just a few months ago, a project that we started with some other churches. And as all of this was happening, you can kind of get one of those, I don't know, where do you ever doubt yourself when things are going well? When all these things are happening, you just want to say to yourself, Lord, I just want to check, are we on the right track? Because don't get me wrong, I'm excited about all this is happening, but I want to make sure we're going in the right direction. You have a lot of momentum, but if you're going the wrong direction, you're in trouble. All this momentum is, God, are we on the right track? And it was that time when I was asking that, I was over in Malawi, when God brought Isaiah 58 up to me again. And I had been reading it that morning, and we were in a van later on in the afternoon as we were trekking our way back to the training center. We're all squished in this van, and these rides are notoriously uncomfortable. The roads are not all that great, and the van doesn't have a lot of cushion. It's been around for a while, and we were passing village after village, and coming in through the window was the smell of campfires and earth and livestock. And as I was pondering on Isaiah 58, there was one passage in particular that came up to me as we were riding along in the van. It was that from Isaiah 58:6 that said, divide your bread with the hungry. Not multiply, but divide, meaning take out of your resources. Take the blessings that you've had and share with those less fortunate. And there it was, as we were speeding along the road and passing village after village, it was almost as if God was saying, this is why we brought you here, to be a blessing to this country and to do what you can't even imagine. You know, when God says, you know, pray and I will have you do things, ask, and I will give you things that you could hardly imagine. And I feel like and you are a part of that. You have given sacrificially as a church. And God has taken our little sacrifice that we've made, which you could hardly even call a sacrifice, and he's multiplied it 1,000 times. That's amazing. And one of those Malawi pastors, as we've talked about before, is here with us today. And he has partnered with us, and he's been married for 34 years. He has 4 children, 3 daughters, 1 son. He's been in ministry for 31 years. 9 years ago, God called him to a broader ministry. He has planted 36 churches which probably by Malawi standards is pretty poor. You know, those guys, you know, like hundreds, but he's only planted 36. He oversees dozens of churches. He maintains a large church of his own. As we go over there, we talk to all the pastors. We got them together, and we say we need a man that we can trust. That when we have a conference over here, that he'll basically lead the conference. Who should that be? And they all pointed to Pastor Abraham. And so he is going to come up and give something of an invitation. It's the invitation that we heard many years ago. I know some of you are new to our church, so you don't know anything about what's going on in Malawi, but I think you'll hear the same invitation to come and be a part of it that we heard 7 years ago. So Pastor Abraham, come up here and just give us a brief word. Let's welcome him again.
Shall we pray, please? Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you this morning. I thank you for the opportunity, God, that you have allowed me to come and be part of this morning service. I would also like to thank you for Pastor Scott and his wife for hosting me, O God Almighty, in their house, and also giving me this opportunity to stand before the people of God and bring to them the invitation that God you are making today. I pray, Father, to help me, Lord, to speak your word to your people. Not my word, not my people, but your word to your people. Holy Spirit, have your way this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. First of all, I would like to thank God for bringing me here. This is my first time to come to America. I want to thank God for this. Secondly, I would like to thank Pastor Scott and his wife for hosting me. I'm in their house. They're good people. I feel free in their house. May God bless you. And also this morning, I want to thank God for smiling faces that I see in front of me. May God bless you and bless us all. I'm going to read from the scripture, Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. Can we turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 16? Then he went on to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, so he took him and circumcised him. And because of the Jews who were in those places, since they all knew that his father was a Greek, as they traveled through the towns, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and were increased in number daily. And let us go to verses 8 and 9, the same chapter. During the night, a vision appeared to Paul. A Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, "Cross over to Macedonia and help us." After he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, including that God had called us to evangelize them. This morning, I just want to speak about missions. We see here Paul and his colleagues. were going to visit churches that Paul had planted. And they went out as a team. And as they reached Derbe and Lystra, they found a man. He was a disciple called Timothy. And Timothy's father was a Greek, and mother was a believing Jew. And Paul wanted to take him on board. And it is amazing that Timothy was willing to go. And they had to circumcise him, not because of salvation, because we all know that salvation is by grace alone, not any ritual, but for the mission. Paul started his ministry from synagogues. So it was not possible to take Timothy without circumcising him. So he allowed, and he was circumcised, and he went together with the team to visit the churches and see how the churches were doing in these places. I believe and I know that they had a program, and they knew churches that they are going to visit, and they had a plan, and they had to follow their plan. And when you read the Bible, you'll find out that they came at a place where they were not allowed to preach the gospel by the Holy Spirit. And it was frustrating because they were ready to preach, they were ready to work, but then the Holy Spirit denied them. So you cannot preach the gospel in these areas. Now, the Bible says that during that night, Paul had a vision, and he saw a Macedonian man standing before him. And he was appealing, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." It seemed that the work was already going on there, but they needed help. And God had to intervene their program and calling them over to another place, the place they did not plan, the place they did not think to go to. But God had planned for them to go to this place. And I believe that when we obey the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, we are going to do what is in the heart of God. And they were led to change the plan. And the Bible said immediately when they heard this invitation, they went to Macedonia. And great things happened there because it was in the purpose and plan of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we see that God had to intervene and call this man to another place. When we understand the history of Pastor Scott, he was ministering in the Chinese church. He thought he will be there for maybe ever. But God changed the plan and he said, no, there is a place somewhere else called Malawi. He never knew about Malawi, but God knew about it. And I want to thank Pastor Scott and the team from this church that when they visited Malawi, they have helped us in leadership. And you know, when you train a leader, a pastor, you have trained a church. And when you train a church, you have trained a community. When you train a community, you have trained the whole nation. So this is what is happening in Malawi through this church. We have pastors and leaders that are trained through this church, through the vision that came to Pastor Scott. But let me just briefly show you what is happening in Malawi. God is blessing us. Doors are open. We can go to any place where people are and preach the gospel, and people receive the gospel. We can go to school and talk to the headmaster. The headmaster will allow us to preach to students and even staff, teachers. We can go to prison. They'll open prison for us. We get inside and we preach the gospel in the prison. Prisoners will accept the gospel. and receive Jesus Christ to be their personal savior. And a lot of prisons are changed when we go and visit. We can go to the hospitals, preach to the patient in their beds. We can go to marketplaces. We are wherever we go, we are welcomed. So we thank God for that door open, that we can reach any people in our country. And we are already doing that. But today, I am standing here like a Macedonia man. So when you look at me, you remember a Macedonia man. I want to make an appeal. Come over to Malawi. Come over to Malawi. This is God's appeal. And help us. Now the word help, it seems that we are already doing something. And we need you to help us. More especially in the area of training. We have got a lot of pastors that God has called to preach the word and to lead the churches. But some of them, they have never had opportunity to be trained as pastors. We have theological colleges, but they are expensive. Pastors cannot afford to pay. We all know, that college does not make a pastor. A pastor is by calling. So God is calling people, regardless of the problem of training. We have got a lot of pastors and leaders where I would like to make an appeal to you, as you have already started teaching. We still have a lot more pastors that are need training. I know that you are now switching to meeting the regional directors, the pastors that are overseeing many pastors to teach them. On behalf of Malawi Church, I would like to say thank you for the program. And please, come over. We still need you. Come over. You can join the team. You should know that Timothy joined the team. He did not start from the beginning, but only on the way, when he knew that Paul and his team are going on the mission, he joined. He was part of the mission, and God blessed him. So this is my appeal to all of you, that in Malawi, we are saying, please come over to Malawi and help us in area of training pastors. And let me say it again, that when you train one pastor, for example, I got the training from Pastor Scott and the Potomac Baptist. I am trained, but I am overseeing 36 pastors in my country, Zambia and Tanzania. The same training I got, I take it to these other pastors and train them. And when I train the pastors are training members of the church. And then we go on and on and on and on. So this is the appeal from God, that please come over to Malawi. May the good God bless you as you think on this message. Amen.
Well, you can see why we're pretty excited about what's going on over there. And still you may think, you know, I hate to put it so crassly, but you can say, what's the payoff? I mean, what do I get out of it? I know sometimes that's kind of the way we think, but here's what Isaiah says, because I don't think that the motivation should be just guilt. You know, what it says here in verse 8, if you do all these things, in other words, if you do this, this is what it says the end product will be. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. That's a great game plan, isn't it? I would like that, that your light would break forth like the dawn, that the glory of the Lord will shine around you, and that your good works and what you're doing will, in a sense, the reputation of that will go before you, and God will guard your back. I mean, that's what God says. You take care of the poor, I'll take care of you. I'll continue to be a blessing to you. And I thought it'd be great if we could all maybe just end our service. Why don't we stand? And I would like to pray for Abraham as he represents the country of Malawi, that God would continue to bless him and the country of Malawi. Father, thank you for our dear brother who has challenged us to continue the work. And Lord, man, this has been your idea from the beginning. And we have just stood back and been amazed at how you have guided and directed us in ways that we couldn't even imagine this happening. And yet, Lord, we feel so privileged to be a part of this, and we know that as we divide our bread, as we give to those who have less than we do, that we see that it's being multiplied hundreds and thousands of times over. And Father, that your light, your glory has shined through men like Abraham. We pray your blessing on him. We pray your protection over him. We pray that you would guard him from the attacks of the enemy that we know are strong there in Malawi as well, because where there is great revival, there's also great opposition. And so we pray against that. We pray that you would continue to be with he and his wife Agnes and their children and guard their family. And we just pray again, you continue to do this wonderful work in Malawi. May the Malawian church, represented here by Abraham, grow strong and deep roots in the gospel, that they would not be easily deceived, but they would be strong and able to turn away false doctrine, as many false prophets are coming into Malawi now. And we pray, God, that the truth would be established and the gospel would be guarded. And we pray that the good news of Jesus Christ would go on and on and on. We pray this in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Amen.